And now let's turn to the big picture and crunch some numbers with NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Hey, Ron.
Good to be with you, Fry.
Is there enough news for you right now?
Enough numbers to crunch?
Yeah, exactly. So give us some of that campaign math.
Well, it's pretty interesting that after watching for weeks and weeks while both of the candidates crept up and up and up in terms of their totals, yesterday you saw a real breakthrough, not so much in terms of the pledged delegates. There were only 31 pledged delegates at stake in South Dakota and Montana, but in terms of the superdelegate rush. And Maxine Waters, whom you've just been speaking to, was part of this by switching, of course, from Hillary Clinton to Barack Obama. She took one away from one stack and put one on the other. But there were more than 50 people around the country, about a quarter of the total of superdelegates yet uncommitted, who came out during yesterday, during one day. And that really was what put Barack Obama over the top, even before we started counting the votes from South Dakota and Montana, and put him where he is now, which is about 35 over the necessary minimum of 2,118, and on his way up to 2,200, and on his way up probably to 2,250 before he's done.
I just asked Congresswoman Waters about people from the Congressional Black Caucus and other superdelegates who, in the 11th hour, did either switch their affiliation or announce their affiliation. What's in it for the superdelegates to kind of throw their support in at the very last minute?
You heard Congresswoman Waters a moment ago referring to her own campaign that had her in Los Angeles yesterday. Let's not forget that every single superdelegate who is a member of the House, and that's, I think, 235, 236 Democrats in the House now, each one of those superdelegates is also a person who's on the ballot in November. Unless they're retiring this year, every House member must run every 2 years. And even if they've got a pretty safe district, even if they're pretty sure they're going to do all right, you know, the people who stick around in Congress are the ones who never stop campaigning, never forget that they've got to be on the ballot every other November. And those people are looking at these two candidates and they're saying to themselves, in the end, which way do I do better? Which way am I closer to my constituents? Which way do I build the Democratic Party of tomorrow so that my own political future will be secure?
We saw all three of the candidates, Senator Clinton, who has not dropped out, Senator McCain, presumptive Republican nominee, Senator Obama, presumptive Democratic nominee, all speaking today at a function concerning Israel and Jewish American issues. What's the importance of them all being at a big event like that and making, you know, news at the same time?
Well, AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, is the most important of several lobbying organizations that try to keep the interests of Israel constantly before the eyes of powerful people in America, including, of course, members of Congress, members of the administration. It has been highly influential for many years in both political parties. There may have been a time when people associated it primarily with Democrats, but in recent decades, increasingly, the support for Israel has been very strong in the Republican Party. And so in recent years, you've seen members of the Bush administration and powerful people from Capitol Hill on the Republican side being the featured speakers at these meetings of AIPAC that happen each year. This year, though, clearly the presidential candidates stole the show. John McCain gave a well-received speech. Barack Obama did as well. And Hillary Clinton, whom you would think would probably have been the person who was closest to many of those in the audience in terms of her political interests and her political history. She is the, of course, senator from New York. You would have thought that she really would have been the capstone on this meeting, and she would have had the biggest and strongest response. I don't think it was that simple at all. They seemed to listen to all three presidential candidates with about equal interest.
All right. Last, and, it's so much to cover, but only just give us a teaser. What's next for Senator Clinton?
Senator Clinton is showing signs of being very interested in having the second slot on the ticket. Whether or not ultimately she really wants to be vice president, I think she wants to have the salute that goes with having that job offered, even if she chooses not to take it. And perhaps there would be good reasons for her to go either way. She would like to have the salute to her efforts and her constituencies that's implied by the offer.
Does that salute include money?
Well, she does have a campaign debt. I don't think that it's a crippling debt, and the Clintons have their own ability to either cover that debt or to raise money on their own, but they do need to get that money raised by the end of the summer. Otherwise, it's not going to be retirable under the current fundraising rules. So she needs to get it done soon, and she could use some help with that. Barack Obama could provide that support with his online fundraising base of 1.5 million contributors.
All right, Ron. Thanks again.
Always a pleasure, Farai.
Ron Elving is NPR's senior Washington editor. He spoke to us from NPR's headquarters in Washington, D.C. And just ahead, political analysts Ron Walters and Robert George give us their take on the presidential race. And on our Bloggers Roundtable, the sons of Confederate veterans want to fly the world's largest Confederate flag by a Florida highway. They have the permits to do it, but did they withhold information to get approval?